Hello and welcome to Relationship Rewind on WERU-FM 89.9 Blue Hill. I'm your host, Jazz Bradley, the youth educator and advocate at Next Up Domestic Violence Project. Often, young people are expected to just know how to be in relationships in healthy and equal ways, but we learn through the examples of relationships given to us and big place we see these examples in the media we watch. That's why this show uses media like movies and TV shows to start conversations about harmful and unhealthy behaviors in the relationships portrayed. But this is not to pass judgment on the media that we're discussing. Every month, we invite young people in Maine to give their perspective and to voice their thoughts, opinions, and experiences around what they've seen in the media and how it has impacted them or the people they know. There are sensitive materials in and spoilers of the media we discuss. Magic curses and true love's kiss. Sounds perfect, right? But in Storybrooke, some happily ever afters come with control, secrets, and heartbreak. Today on Relationship Rewind, Cheyenne and I are pulling back the curtain on the fairy tale romances of Once Upon a Time to see which ones sparkle and which one should have stayed in the enchanted forest. If you need support or would like to learn more about dating violence or domestic violence, please reach out to us at Next Step by calling our 24/7 helpline at 1-800-315-5579. You can also find resources for young people on our website at nextstepdvproject.org/4-youth. Keep up with our community events and see upcoming information about our show by following us at Next Step Domestic Violence Project on Facebook or on our Instagram at nextstepdvprojectofficial. I'd like to now introduce Cheyenne for our conversation about Once Upon a Time. Thank you so much for joining us again, Cheyenne. We are so glad to have you on the show again. Today, we're going to be discussing the TV series Once Upon a Time, and I'm super excited to talk to you today about the series. There's a lot of different relationships going on, a lot of different characters. I can't wait to dive in. Our show is all about breaking down some of those relationships and the actions that are shown in media where that aren't super healthy, but it's being shown in ways that might make those behaviors seem normal or even romantic and ideal. Can you talk about the show?
Thanks for having me on again, Jasmine. Glad to be back. So Once Upon a Time is a show that was on ABC in 2011. It ran from 2011 to 2018. And so it was a show I watched with my friends when I was in college. And I loved the show. And at the time, it was really big on the social media site Tumblr. And so I noticed a lot of different things from my time on Tumblr. But this show specifically takes place in a fictional town in Maine. It's in Storybrooke, Maine, and all of these storybook characters that we all know, like Snow White and the Evil Queen, Rumpelstiltskin, Belle, all of these different characters from all these different stories are in this fictional town. And the reason they're in this fictional town is because the Evil Queen, Regina, has cast a curse that sends everyone from the Enchanted Forest into this fictional town of Storybrooke, Maine. And as Jasmine mentioned before, there are so many characters in this show. Like, there's tons of them and lots of relationships to talk about. There's one relationship in particular that I really want to dig into, but I do have a few others that I thought that I would just kind of point out as I thought they were the most maybe unhealthy relationships that I observed while watching this show. And of course, this is a rewatch for me. I enjoy watching shows over again, and so it was kind of a comfort watch for me.
Thank you so much, Cheyenne. Things probably have changed since you first watched it, like you mentioned. You were in college then. Now some time has passed and things, your life experiences has changed. So what was like that relationship that really stuck out to you that you really wanted to talk about first?
Okay, so just to harken back to the Tumblr days where there's all kinds of ships, like relationships, people, you know, smash two names together and create a ship name. And so the ship that was really popular on the website Tumblr at the time was Rumpelstiltskin and Belle, and together they were Rumbel. And that was an incredibly popular ship. Like, it was the most romanticized, it was the most celebrated, it was the one that had the most, like, GIF edits on the website and was reblogged and reshared lots and lots of times, and people loved this relationship, and they were cheering it on, and it was definitely romanticized. But even at the time when I was watching it in college, I knew this is not the best relationship. This is probably not one that should be glorified. Having watched it since then, after working for Next Step Domestic Violence Project when I did, understanding the dynamics better, it's definitely unhealthy. It's definitely something that I think should be talked about, because I think the age group for that show would have been teenagers and young adults. So I think that's the reason I wanted to talk about that one specifically, because, you know, it was such a big thing in the fandom at the time. And there was a couple of other relationships and incidents that I wanted to mention too. Just like I said, there's just so many relationships. I can't go through every single relationship that's in the show, but I wanted to point out the ones that I thought were the most unhealthy or the ones that I thought were most prominent. So do you have any questions about the show first before we get going on the different relationships?
If you had any specific scenes or scenarios between Belle and Rumpelstiltskin, if there was anything that was like the deal breaker, like, yes, this is not okay, this is very toxic, this is something that's being normalized between these two, and it's really not okay.
Yeah, okay, so the whole thing between Rumpelstiltskin and Belle is that in the Enchanted Forest, we have Belle, who is, you know, from Beauty and the Beast, and so she's got that story arc from Beauty and the Beast. In this story, the Beast is Rumpelstiltskin, who is this, like, scaly, gold-looking guy who's got dark magic, and he's evil. She ends up sacrificing herself to go live with Rumpelstiltskin as a way to protect her family from the ogre war. But she goes to work for him as a servant to clean his castle, bring him his food, general things like that. Her whole thing is that she's really kind. And of course, Rumpelstiltskin is very much not. He's the Beast. Even in this whole thing, she's being kept hostage in his castle, and she's not allowed to leave. She's not allowed to do anything. She has no power. Even though they're not in a romantic relationship yet, there's still that element of power there, where he's in control of everything, and she's the servant and beholden to everything that he wants to do. As time goes on, she starts to fall in love with him, because he starts to show that he has a little bit of a soft spot for her. And she gives real, I can fix him energy. And that's one of the things that I noticed in season 2, is that Belle is really all about, I can fix him. If I love him enough, then he'll be good. If I love him enough, then he'll change. Then he won't be this way anymore. And I thought that that was something to talk about and to note, because I think that's a common misconception that a lot of people have, is that if I just love my partner enough, then I can make them not be abusive anymore.
I'm really glad you said that, Cheyenne, because I was thinking the same thing as well. A lot of the times we hear survivors say, I just thought I could help him become better, or help him stop the drinking, or help them stop that certain behavior that escalates the abusive behaviors. Because we know that abuse is a choice, not something that, just because they might be using substances, alcohol, whatever that thing might be, that's not what abuse is. They're doing that out of their belief system. But yeah, I'm really glad that you had mentioned that, because a lot of the times, as a survivor, or from the perception of being an advocate working with survivors, I think we have heard that a lot of times. I really thought it was, you know, me, I was the problem, I'm the one who was overreacting or overthinking, and I just needed to be more supportive to him. I just really needed to be the better partner, thinking it was their fault and not their partner's fault.
Yeah, luckily Belle doesn't think that it's her fault that he's this way, because he was like this before her. She definitely feels like if she just loves him enough, then he'll be different. Which also is not a healthy mindset either, to go into a relationship thinking that you can change your partner no matter what is happening. It's also not a healthy outlook for a relationship. And then I have also in season 2, episode 4, Belle breaks up with Rumpelstiltskin because he's constantly lying to her. He says that he's not going to do the thing, and then he does the evil thing anyway behind her back, or pretends that he's not really doing the thing when he really is, just so that he can continue to manipulate her, so that she'll continue giving him a chance. And so every time she thinks that she is going to leave because it's too much for her, he pulls her back in with the lies and the love bombing. And that's something that we see a lot in relationships like this, where there's, you know, they do something horrible and then they apologize a whole lot and promise a lot of things or lie, and just to bring that person back in.
Just do those small enough gestures just to get them back and kind of gaslight them into thinking it's gonna be okay again and they're gonna keep their relationship.
Yeah, and this is something, like I said, this is something that the relationship in general has been really glorified online at the time. This ship was like the one that they thought was the sweetest because Belle loved him so much and would do anything for him. But the problem is, he would never do anything for her. He would do anything except give up his power. And that's the key, right? Is that it's about power. And that's something he was unwilling to let go of, was having power, whether that's over her or over other people or over magic. In season 3, episode 20, they are married. They get married after all of this. After she threatens to leave him several times and all of this, they still end up together and they get married. Rumpelstiltskin starts their marriage off with a lie. So one of the things about Rumpelstiltskin is because he's the Dark One, which is like the being of most dark magic in this world. And the only thing that can control him and his magic is a dagger that has his name on it. And the person who holds that dagger has control over him. In an act of supposed love, he gives Belle this dagger as during their wedding to say, I trust you. You have the power over me now. Except what has really happened is he's given her a fake in order to make her think that she has power over him when still he has the most power in this situation. And so he's starting off the marriage this way.
And I think a lot of times that happens when we work and hear other survivor stories, just based on that relationship between Belle and Rumpelstiltskin and starting that marriage off with a lie. That's exactly what survivors experience. Oh yeah, I'm gonna give you everything here. You can, you know, tell me what to do now. And he using that to manipulate Belle because of her sweetness and kindness. He's definitely taking advantage of that.
Absolutely. She wants so badly to believe that he has changed, that she can believe this, that she can trust him. He's definitely taking advantage of that. And he does this throughout the series where he'll promise things and just give her just enough where he'll promise these things and then find a loophole around the thing that he's promised in order to still continue doing what he wants to do without her knowing about it. In 6, episode 4, he ends up trapping Belle on Captain Hook's ship, the Jolly Roger, supposedly for her own safety. So he has imprisoned her on a ship so she cannot leave. This is against her will. She does not want that. At this point, she has left him because she can't deal with the way that he is always treating her and treating everyone else and using dark magic. And so he traps her on the Jolly Roger, supposedly to protect her for her own good, he says. That is clearly not a healthy thing to do. And that is something that we see often with people who are going through this, of being imprisoned by their partner and being told it's for their own good, or, you know, that they're protecting them and that they know best. But they're doing it without their partner's consent.
That complete isolation that happens, it's almost like a gradual type of isolation too. Like, they might not see it right off the bat. It sounds like that clearly. I mean, it kind of happened right off the bat for Belle, because Belle had to go right to the castle and be completely isolated from her family and friends and stuff. In this scenario, it kind of happened right in the beginning of the relationship. And I think it does sometimes for certain people in real life, but just that idea that it can happen so quickly, but for the person experiencing it, they don't see it like their friends or family do looking on the outside.
If you're just tuning in, this is Relationship Rewind on WEIU-FM 89.9 Blue Hill. I'm your host, Jazz Bradley, and today I'm joined by Cheyenne as we explore the relationships and behaviors in the TV series Once Upon a Time, where fairy tales meet real-life lessons about love, trust, and boundaries.
Once they're in Storybrooke, in the real world, he thinks to harm her father, who her father's not a great person either in this story, but that's neither here nor there. But he's threatened to hurt her father, to kill her father, because her father is trying to get her away from him because he recognizes that this is not a good situation for her. But of course, like we know, working with survivors, that you can't force someone to leave their partner. Even if you think that's what's best for them, it has to be a choice that they make on their own.
I mean, it's all about the survivor choice and trying to educate and inform people in the best way possible, even if that means staying or that takes them 7-10 times to leave. Seems like Belle did that throughout the story too, like just recognizing, okay, Rumpelstiltskin is not doing what he should be in this relationship, he's treating me poorly, but then her love and her kindness still, you know, kind of took her heart, and she still wanted to make it work, but then
I think, like you said, once she's completely isolated on the Jolly Roger, that's when she realizes.
And she tried to leave several times, you know, would be on her own for a while and was completely lost, didn't really know how to navigate life without him. Then would go back, and then he would do something terrible again, and she would find that untenable and leave. Eventually, he'd do something sweet enough that she would come back and think that he's, you know, to give him another chance because he might change. If she just loves him enough, then maybe he really will change. And then also in season 6, episode 8, he puts a magical device on her wrist that prevents her from running away or being able to hide from him. So again, doing something against her will. So not even allowing her to leave, not allowing her to run away or anything. At this point, she's also found out she's pregnant with his child. And so he's also using this pregnancy as a way to stay in her life, because as we know, using children is one of the pieces of the power and control wheel that never goes away, so they're always going to be connected in this way.
As soon as you said the magical device, all I'm thinking about is, like, nowadays, Apple AirTags and just stalking via technology. We hear a lot about survivors worrying about, you know, he's put a tag on my car, he's tracking my emails. Rumpelstiltskin, I mean, doing that to Belle, like you said, total power is gone from Belle. She has no control anymore.
I think the Apple AirTags and the tracking with technology is a really good analog for that. Because that's definitely what was happening, is he was tracking her, he was making it so that she couldn't leave at all, she couldn't do anything without him knowing about it. And so she didn't have any freedom at all. Once their child is born, after some magical circumstances that make this baby born before it's supposed to be born and then become a full-sized human, because magic. Baby is not a baby, it's a full-grown adult, and he's evil and trying to do some evil deeds, and so because of this, Belle ends up back in vicinity with Rumpelstiltskin again, working together to try to save their child. And even after this has happened, the kid has magically been turned back into a baby after they've saved the world. They get back together. For all of this, is incredibly frustrating for me watching this the second time around, to notice that even after all of the stuff that they've been through, all she has been put through by him, she's still ending up with him again at the end. And on Tumblr at the time, this was like the best possible outcome, that Rumbel was endgame. That is like the worst possible way you could end that kind of a relationship arc, by saying all of this horrible stuff that happened doesn't matter because they love each other, and so they're gonna end up together, and like nothing is going to change. Like, he has no reason to change his behavior because he's getting what he wants, and we know that that's how abusers operate. They're going to continue doing the thing that gives them what they want, and we have no reason to believe that that's going to change the way he uses power and control against Belle in the future. And so that's really frustrating to see at the end, that suddenly everything's fine and they're back together again.
When abusers do the behaviors over and over again, they don't really love the person that they're doing this to.
They love having power and control more.
Right.
That's the message. I mean, he all but tells Belle that he loves her, but he loves power more. And it's not just about controlling her either. It's about literal magical powers, which then he inflicts on everyone else. So he's also harming everybody she knows and loves.
Oftentimes, survivors do hear that too. If you don't do this for me, I'm gonna hurt your family or hurt your friends. Or I'm going to do this to our child. Rumpel and Belle had a child, and even though they were working together to, you know, help that child, it still ended up being used against Belle in, I would say, some ways, and still again controlling her and keeping her in line.
Mm-hmm.
Even after going through all those horrible things.
I mean, even in the brief period that they weren't together and they didn't have the child yet and she was dating somebody else, he used his influence to intimidate the boyfriend and, you know, not let her feel safe, not let the boyfriend feel safe. So there's a lot of this stuff that's mixed up in here, and just the thing that bothered me about this and about the fandom around this was that it was never discussed that this was unhealthy. It was just seen as, like, swoon-worthy, that their love was so big and so strong that no matter what happened, they would end up together. And the reason why this is such a not great way to portray this type of relationship is because if you've got young viewers, young adults watching this, and this is the only thing that they're seeing for relationships, and they're seeing this is what romance looks like, it doesn't matter how badly your partner treats you, if you love them enough, you will end up together and everything will be fine. And so, and that's something that survivors are dealing with all the time, of people in their lives telling them to stick it out. You just gotta work harder. It's not that bad. It'll turn out fine in the end. Instead of being believed that this is really horrible and you don't have to stay there.
Yeah, those standards of, oh, well, he didn't do that for you or they didn't do that for you. Just like, you can't expect more or you have to expect less because they might be going through something, and it's like, those aren't excuses. You deserve to have the best. And excusing behaviors of power and control, it's hard because I think we learn those behaviors through like our childhoods, our own personal relationships, and it's hard to realize that you can have more and you can have better. And seeing the relationships like these throughout social media is super challenging.
It would have been really nice to see at the end for Belle to still not want to be with him. Mm-hmm. And for her to try to figure that out. But I think if that had happened, then you would have had the continued threat of whatever, because he's the most magical dark being in existence. And no matter what she does, there's always a threat if he doesn't get what he wants, that he's going to use magic to get it. In real life, when we see this kind of stuff play out, it's more like if the abuser is in law enforcement or an influential person in the community, they can use that to continue to get what they want from the person that they are abusing or wanting to be with.
It's really hard when the abuser is connected to certain aspects of the community or has that power and control over certain community members or just the community itself. Like, and then in this instance, dark magic, you know, they're using magical things. Having that type of sway and power really makes it easy for people to be a target. Mm-hmm. And you take more advantage, or you're being taken more advantage of when there are people of authority involved.
It's absolutely true. And I think the other thing about the show that stood out to me too is that because of all of these elements of magic and these magical fantasy elements, it kind of like hand waves away how serious this stuff is. And it's played off as like, oh, well, it's just magic. It's not that big of a deal, which brings me to one of the other relationships that I wanted to talk about. And this was just like a brief relationship during season one. And this is between the evil queen or mayor, Regina Mills, as she is known in Storybrooke. She's the mayor. She also is magical. She's powerful and uses dark magic. And one of the things that she can do is she can reach into someone's chest and literally rip their heart out. Once she has that glowing heart in her hand, she has full control over them. She can tell them what to do. They can't do anything about that. They have to do what she says if she's whispering things into their heart. In season one, Regina takes the Huntsman's heart, who is the sheriff in Storybrooke. She takes his heart in order to control him because the Huntsman is the one that saved Snow White. In the Snow White and Seven Dwarfs story, the Huntsman was supposed to take Snow White's heart back to the Evil Queen, and he doesn't do that. And so in punishment for that, Regina takes his heart to control him. And in Storybrooke, the way that she is using his heart is so that they can be in a relationship together. So she's the mayor of the town, so she's got power. She's also magical, so she literally has magic power. And she's controlling his actions through his heart and uses that power to have a coercive sexual relationship with him. It's not really sex because he doesn't get consent in this moment. She's raping him because he doesn't know why that's happening. And once he gets his heart back, he is not happy about that, as you would imagine, because they were enemies. And she's coercing him into this situation, literally, with his heart.
Yeah, he had no choice in that. And then towards the end, she kills him.
Yeah, she crushes his heart. Again, this is one of those things where, like, the magic is just kind of, like, waved away instead of being taken seriously. I feel like that's a way more disturbing thing that probably should have been addressed, that she's doing this to him. Like, how disturbing is that you can totally control somebody in order to have sex with them, whether they wanted to or not? That's some pretty diabolical stuff.
That's cruel and disgusting, and he had no choice because he had no idea it was happening. And that line between the magic the powerful magic and then just being in power, because she had both. And yeah. I think in storybook, it's really hard because you're seeing the magic-y stuff and then you're seeing the real life stuff, like, all put together. I don't know why they didn't really put more emphasis. She had a curse over him to control his entire being and is using him for sex.
Him to do her bidding. Like, you can't do anything without the sheriff coming after you. Like, in the story, the main character, Emma Swan, who is the savior, she uses the sheriff to constantly harass Emma because they're enemies. Like, Emma is the person who's going to make things better for everyone, which means defeating the evil queen. And so she's using her power over the sheriff / the huntsman to apprehend Emma and make her life difficult. And it's with Emma's help that the huntsman is able to realize that he's not really in control of his actions.
The scene he realizes, okay, this is it, is when Emma and Mayor Mills is at the cemetery and they try to find his heart, and then he and Emma go back and that's when she kills him.
It's pretty bad, but this is, again, it's one of those things where, like, oops, it's magic, mm-hmm. and it's never addressed again. Throughout the show, actually, Regina has one of the best villain arcs throughout the whole show, where, like, she eventually becomes a good guy at the end. She gets this huge redemption arc. One of the things she grapples with is all of the evil things that she's done in her past. But that's never one of the things that's addressed. So I just thought that that was interesting and something I wanted to bring up, because I think coercive control and coercive sex is something that happens a lot, especially with young people feeling like they have to have sex with someone because their partner wants them to, or they're afraid if they say no, what will happen. And so I think something like this just kind of continues to perpetuate that, especially when it's not challenged.
I think it happens more and more, and I mean, it was expected of Sheriff Graham.
Yeah, the sheriff deserved better.
Thank you so much, Cheyenne, and I so appreciate your time.
Thank you, Jasmine.
I'd like to thank Cheyenne for being our guest speaker this month. We are excited to have a variety of insights on such popular series for young people and the impacts they may have on those watching. You have been listening to Relationship Rewind. I'm your host, Jazz Bradley, and I hope you'll join us again next month on the third Tuesday from 4:30 to 5, where we will be continuing this conversation and breaking down another relationship in popular media. You can also listen to our live stream or subscribe to our podcast at weru.org or on the WERU smartphone app. You can also find us on Spotify and Apple Music. If you're a young person in Maine who is interested in being a guest speaker on the show, have ideas of media we could talk about, or you know of a young person who might be interested, please reach out to me at jbradley@nextstepbvproject.org.